Hi. I'm glad you all could come. My name is Frankie Friedman. I'm one of the people who is involved in having this event tonight. There were a great number of uninvited guests. Most of them have been asked to leave and have. I know there are a few remaining. If they want to sit here quietly and listen to this, that's fine. If they cause any difficulty, they'll be escorted out. I would like to take this opportunity to present some of the other people who have worked extremely hard to get this event together and who are working to get this show on the road of this class action suit that we feel is very vital to each and every one of us, including you. This guest speaker tonight will tell you some incredible stories, and I hope you attentively listen. And after he gets done talking, we'll have a break, and then we will have refreshments, and then we'll come back and there'll be a question and answer period. So please, due to the time and due to the length of what he wants to communicate to you, no questions when Mr. Flynn talks in the first half. Well, Val, I'll introduce you last since you're going to introduce Mr. Flynn. Let's see. Hannah Whitfield. Could you bring Hannah in, please? And Jerry Whitfield. This is not a serious event. Probably everything that has transpired leading up to it has been somewhat serious. Okay, Hannah Elchingham is working on this. Her husband Jerry is working on this. Mary Marin back there has been very, very busy. Very busy. Very effective lady. And Fred Stansfield, where's Fred? Fred wrote the last issue. He was the editor. Hey, Fred. Come on up, you guys. Anyway, I want to just acknowledge these people. Thank you. I'm going to turn it over to Val now. You know, some wise person once said, never leave your enemy with nothing to lose.
Well, tonight we begin a new rundown. The end of endless church harassment. Okay. After the lecture, you can purchase copies of the cassettes. We'll try to make them for you right away. Or you can order cassettes or videos. You all have copies of the pledge. I want to make it clear that you don't have to pledge money to join the suit. You are represented when you sign. Don't feel embarrassed or rejected if you don't have money. We know who fleeced you. Anyone who agrees with any one or more of the claims is eligible. You have three choices: your name, your money, or both. Take extra pledges, take them with you, take them home, and get your friends to sign. Every name counts. Tonight, for those of you who are in agreement with this, and you don't have to be, let's create the intention that by the end of the evening, we have enough names to start the action on Monday. And those of you who are listening to the tape and the video will create a second wave that will bring your cause, our cause, to fruition in a very short time. Okay. When I first met Mike Flynn in 1983, he spoke to a group of 125 questioning Scientologists. We had seen that we'd been lied to about some things by the Church of Scientology. We dared to question if we'd been lied to, even about Michael Flynn. So we asked him to speak for himself. As a result, he made a lot of friends. He spoke here again in 1984 and 1985, and all these are available on tape. At the 1983 meeting, someone asked if we could do a class action suit, and Flynn said yes. It's been a 3-year lag, but we've grown tremendously in that time, and now we're ready. There's no question anymore if we were lied to. Decide again tonight for yourself. In almost 24 lawsuits involving the Church of Scientology, Mike Flynn has not lost one. He's competent, and he's ours. Here's Mike.
Thank you. As the leader of the anti-religious movement in the United States, who is single-handedly destroying religion in America, I would like to thank the people who own and operate this very appropriately Jewish synagogue, and I say appropriately because of the history of persecution of that group, who have apparently welcomed or made the decision to allow me to speak to you when a religious institution with 6 million people, the Church of Scientology, has apparently represented to this synagogue that I am destroying religion in America. Someone apparently had the courage to at least hear what I had to say. Can I have my turn?
You're just here to make money.
Thank you. It is the creed of the Church of Scientology, apparently, of which this, which is part of the tech, of which this gentleman and others apparently believe, apparently very wholeheartedly, that all men have the right to think freely, to utter their own opinions, to utter opinions on the opinions of other men, is, I believe, how Mr. Hubbard wrote it. And they have inalienable rights to their own sanity, to their own defense, and to speak. That gentleman had his right to speak. I, too, have my right to speak. The church has sued myself and my colleagues, as you know, some, I don't even know what it's up to now, 13 to 17 times, for speaking. I was informed by members of my office that I am going to be sued for tonight's speech. My lawyer, Mr. Rob Kilborn, who happens to be present, not by my request, but by his own volition, asked me before the speech what I was going to talk about. And I told him I didn't know yet. And if I didn't know, how was the church going to sue me for something that they knew I was going to say before it had been said? In uttering my opinions, some of my opinions over the years have differed perhaps with some of you as they differ with this gentleman. And there's a lot of history to cover. And it's going to be very difficult in the very short period of time I have tonight to cover that history. But we can focus to some degree, and I'm going to assume in what I have to say that many of you have heard what I've said before, so I will try not to duplicate what I've said before. But there is a very essential message that must be given to you and to the people who run the Church of Scientology. And that is that I have a right to speak, just as they have a right to speak. I have a right to talk about what I have found to be misrepresentations, the host of which I have talked about in prior speeches. They can disagree with me. They have the right to disagree with me, but they do not have the right, by a concerted plan, by contacting the people who run this temple, by following me with private detectives all over the United States, by suing me 13 to 17 times, one of which was a week or so ago, by threatening me with a lawsuit to appear here, by framing me with the alleged forgery of a $2 million check on L. Ron Hubbard, by stealing 20,000 documents from my office premises, by invoking the fair game doctrine against myself, my clients, by harassing me, harassing other independents. They do not have the right to prevent us from thinking and uttering our own opinions and speaking about them. Now, if my message was so devoid of truth, then any simple-minded individual would just let me prattle away and would not spend the millions of dollars. And I would estimate somewhere between 5 and 15 million to date to try to prevent me from speaking. They would not spend the millions of dollars that were spent, for example, in the Armstrong case alone to prevent me from having the documents that were L. Ron Hubbard's and the church documents released to you people so you could read them. The truth is that since 1982, when Jerry Armstrong was sued, we have defended him and won and sought to obtain release of those documents while they have sought to conceal them. The reason they have sought to conceal them is because the documents are devastating to what has been told to you. An independent person who is not a Scientologist may read these documents and might say, so he romanticized his background, so he lied about whether he was a nuclear physicist. when we all know... When we all know that we have all told lies. We have all told half-truths. There is no man or woman living that has lived for any length of time who has not been completely truthful in life to himself, the people around him. There are those who are well-intentioned who strive for that, who make mistakes and try to correct the errors. But there is no one who has not made mistakes. So someone who was looking at L. Ron Hubbard's life might say, so he made a few mistakes. And I would agree with that person, because we've all done that. But look at his legacy. Look at the legacy of L. Ron Hubbard. All of you who have been through life repair, who have found, in at least in my opinion, the beginning stages of auditing, truth within yourselves and confronted those hidden deceits and hidden lies within you, found what you believe to be the legacy of L. Ron Hubbard, and you followed it, and you're here tonight because of it. And it's a true legacy, because L. Ron Hubbard is like every man. There is both goodness and error in him as in all of us. Now that he is dead, it is perhaps even more important to look at his legacy. In the legacy is the dichotomy, I submit, between that creed of the Church of Scientology and the code of a Scientologist that talks about those aspirations that we all adhere to, that were the foundation mark of this country, that all men are created equal, and they have the right to split apart from a government or an agency or an entity that oppresses them, whether it's the King of England, the Guardian's office, the CMO, whatever it is that oppresses them, they have the right to separate from it, liberate themselves, and pursue a legacy that they find in their own heart is true. The suppression of that pursuit is the harm. The suppression of having me speak is the harm. I could get up here and speak and say things that are ridiculous, and you can discount them and throw them away, and you won't be harmed. The Church of Scientology can get up and say things. You can believe them. You can pay $400,000 through the OT levels. You can spend 20 years of your life, and you can find out you were lied about your PC folders' confidentiality. You were told some untruths about the background of L. Ron Hubbard. The critical inquiry becomes, were the lies so significant, the misrepresentation so significant that they severely affected my life? If I believed he was a nuclear physicist, though someone might say, big deal, so he's not a nuclear physicist. But suppose I believed it and it was propagated for 35 years. To sell things, to sell me, to sell another physicist on the tech, to make it all scientific. Then to that person, that misrepresentation becomes an extremely significant thing, because a big part of their life, their personality, that subscribed to that, pursued something that was untrue. And the pursuit of truth is what the Church of Scientology is supposed to be about. So the question becomes, in inquiring into the legacy of L. Ron Hubbard, who is a Scientologist? What is the Church of Scientology? Is it the people who subscribe to that creed? Or is it the Guardian's office that perpetrates the fair game doctrine that says lie, to sue, cheat, and destroy? Or attack the attacker that says, feed lurid blood sex crimes to the press. or the black PR policy that says take an item of truth and expand it to destroy someone, or the Guardian's office hat packs, where they train people to lie, where they train people to harass. Which is the legacy? Who is the Scientologist? The one that subscribes to the view that I have the right to speak? Or the one who was sent here tonight to prevent me from speaking? If you ask yourself, well, the Scientologist is the one, it's me. It's me who paid $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $50,000, $100,000, $500,000 to get through the OT levels, to find truth. Time, place, form, and event. Truth. Then those are the people who were motivated and intentioned by those ideals that are in the creed. But just hypothetically, suppose, like in most things in life, there is a flip side to good, perpetrated by those who would use good and manipulate good people for bad reasons. For greed, to get money, to control those people's lives, for power, instead of liberating them, even though they've taken you $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 to liberate you, to then control you to get another 10 or 15. Who is the Scientologist in that instance? Is it the person who is paying the money who believes that they're going to arrive at truth? Or is it the person who's taken the money to manipulate you, to send it to Swiss bank accounts, or Liechtenstein, or Luxembourg, or to create Guardian's offices, or to break into federal office buildings, or to harass Paulette Cooper, or to harass Michael Flynn, or Fred Stansfield, or some gentleman named Nataro? To use an institution to suppress those people who created the institution to liberate them, then who is the Scientologist?